Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is located in Spokane, Washington at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer, meaning Coins Plus is actively involved in the purchase and sale of all types of rare coins, collections, precious metals, as well as scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Coins Plus has a sister company by the name of Clock Tower Jewelry. Clock Tower Jewelry is in business primarily to offer the most competitive prices for people to sell their jewelry and the most competitive prices for people to buy jewelry, primarily quality jewelry and mid to upper quality diamonds. Coins Plus and Clock Tower Jewelry seek to offer the very best pricing on quality diamonds that you'll find anywhere. Clock Tower Jewelry sells diamonds based on a wholesale guide. We sell at the wholesale price level. On the least expensive diamonds, we'll sell at wholesale guide plus 10%. You really won't find that anywhere you go because we are actively involved in the purchase of scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We are forever faced with the tragedies of what people paid in the mall stores, in some of the big local stores. Folks, sometimes it's really sad and it's troubling. It's hard for us when we're the first person they visited. We prefer they'd been somewhere else first just so that they can learn, but it's not uncommon to see rings that people paid $5,000 for that literally we have in our shop for sale with a nice sized diamond in it, the same everything, for $1,000 to $1,200. That's what's going on out there. It's important that you understand that. It's also important that you understand that the jewelry appraisal game is a racket, and it's senseless, and no one really knows where it came from. They over evaluate. For example, you hear on the radio all the time, or on TV, the stores that say they'll sell you a diamond for $2,000 that will appraise for at least double. Well, that right there tells you there's something fishy, but it actually gets even worse than that. All the big chain stores prey on people's lack of knowledge. They sell low quality diamonds. They sell diamonds that are heavily included. The average person doesn't know what they're looking at. They'll sell either large clusters of diamonds, and a large quantity of small diamonds basically adds to very little in value, or they'll sell larger diamonds that are heavily included, and people just see the size. They don't understand that the color cut and clarity is what, and carat weight obviously, is what determines value, and they'll just severely overpay for these stones or these rings. And we're, because of what we do, we see this quite often, and it's too late by then. And I know that I'm always talking about watching out for scams and being wise with your money, but these really are areas that we're sincerely concerned about. We really want you to be wise with your money. We want to be the consumer reports, if you will, of the financial gold and diamond and hard tangible assets industry. You watch TV shows on the radio or on TV. I've seen this one for a very large, well-known company that you hear on the radio regularly. They say, they have a man that says, don't pay full commissions, call us. You know, it's important that we understand in marketing, people can say anything. They tell you that there's a special release of silver dollars from the U.S. Mint. All this stuff, it's made up, it's concocted. They put out some of the craziest ads, like in Parade magazine, of the special release of Sacagawea golden dollars with a free vault, and on it goes. It's important to understand, folks, that all the hype and rhetoric that comes around marketing, is you don't have to take it literally. Ask yourself to look for loopholes. Ask yourself, what could be ways that those words have been twisted to deceive you? And you'll find that a lot of this takes place out there on a regular basis. And in our industry especially, a lot of these companies, they work hard for these big commissions I've told you about in the past. And they're good, and they talk, and they twist, and they'll push you, and you can make some serious financial mistakes. And people who have limited knowledge will come in after you know, listening to certain shows, and they're sure that the 20 francs are what they want, and they think that they're numismatic in this company on the radio that you hear daily. We're selling the Swiss 20 francs for around $200 each, and they're selling them for over $300 a piece. These are the same coins, folks. That's the kind of markup. Can you imagine? These companies want to prey on the vulnerability of the Christian audience. They want people to come in, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and lose a third of their money to profit to this company. This isn't right. Coins Plus is here to serve you, the investor. From a biblical perspective, we want to be fair and honest in everything we do. Coins Plus can be reached in Spokane at 444-0044, outside of Spokane, toll free, 1-877-TAP-COIN, or as I say, these new phones, some of them don't have the numbers on them, 1-877-827-2646. Give us a call. Come on in. I've told you week after week, it's now, if you haven't made moves into the metals, now's the time. Every analyst, every statistical chart, every graph, every economist, everyone knows that the next 6 to 18 months is the most critical time in the history of this country. And if you don't have all, whatever you don't have in metals, you honestly should consider lost, because at some point in the future, I don't know if it's, like I said, 6 months or 18 months, the majority of the money is going to be gone. It's going to collapse. It's going to implode. It's going to be part of a new crisis, multiple bailout programs. The whole thing's going to continue, folks, and it's going to get worse and worse. And it's all orchestrated, and it's all intentional. It's a way to gain control and move us into a very powerful level of socialism. And it's important that you protect your finances in a biblical way. Once again, the phone number for Coins Plus in Spokane is 444-0044. Give us a call, or better yet, come in. If you're looking to invest, it's pretty simple. What forms of payment do we accept? We accept cashier's check, cash. We can accept personal checks. We have to allow time for them to clear the bank before you can take physical ownership. However, you can lock in on your metals at that time. We don't take credit cards. Any company that would ever take credit cards on precious metals is overcharging you. Simply put, precious metals margins, companies should reasonably make 2-4% on precious metals investments, up to 10% on numismatic investments. Why numismatic is more? Harder to get, and a lot more upside potential. They're rare, and they're harder to get. And semi-numismatic coins especially are a great way to go. But companies should be making 2-4% on average on bullion and 10% on semi-numismatic. Credit card companies charge 2-5%, depending on which credit card it is. American Express is the worst. Any company that can absorb a few percent, that's money that the company's paying a credit card company that's not going into your investment portfolio. You want to have the maximum amount of money in your investment portfolio. So no one who accepts credit cards is giving you the best price. That we can tell you. I mentioned a minute ago that we're heading into the serious up move in the metals. I'm assuming the majority of you understand this. I was doing some research this week on the stock market. In 1965, 1 in 10 Americans owned stock. In 1990, 1 in 5 Americans owned stocks. Most of that growth came because of the IRA 401k laws that were put in place in 83. So the growth came between 83 and 90. Now, by 99, 1 in every 2 people in America own stocks. This is a huge bubble, folks. If you think about the fact that 1 out of every 2 people own stocks, that right there tells you that we've got a swollen bubble. That's what, other than the debt issues and stuff, that's really what drove this market to where it is. Throughout history, the median stock to gold ratio for the last 106 years is 5.4. In other words, throughout the 20th century, on average, 5.4 ounces of gold would buy 1 unit of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Today, with the Dow Jones trading at about around 8,500 and gold trading around 970, that ratio is skewed. It's all the way up to 9. The result of this, the Dow Jones either needs to fall to around 5,000, which is a 37% drop from today's level, or gold needs to rally to around $1,600, which is a 60% rally from today's level, or a combination of the two, in order for gold to be appropriately priced relative to stocks again. this will happen. This is a fixed graph over 106 years. Most likely what's going to happen is we will see a serious drop in the stock market relative to the weakening dollar, or both. And I think the graph's going to skew the other way soon, where we're going to actually see like a 2-to-1 ratio, where, or even 1-to-1, where 1 ounce of gold will buy one of the Dow overall index level. So it's just one more indicator. There's plenty out there. Another thing to keep in mind, we saw some precious metals runs, a bull market in the early 70s when they deregulated gold. We saw some downturns in that market, as much as 50% drops. In this market, since 2001, 9/11, we've only seen like a 30% drop. So it's a more stable market. But we're coming right now. Everyone agrees we're coming out of the valley. We're at a hinge point. We're turning the corner, and we're heading towards big, big growth. I think this is the most beautiful time to put all your money into metals. I mean, you're literally going to see humongous growth. Also, with what's coming down the pipe, stay out of paper everything. Stay out of foreign exchange. Stay out of ETFs. By all means, stay out of stocks. You're betting on companies' ability to make a profit in the worst economy, which is right around the corner. They haven't let it come apart yet, folks, because they're not ready. When they're ready, you'll see it, and it'll blow your mind. This week, well, we saw a few weeks ago, a month ago, this domestic terror lexicon, where they came out with a list of criteria of what makes a U.S. citizen a domestic terror threat, including, you know, Ron Paul supporters, biblical beliefs, believing that we've fallen from the Constitution, you know, strong religious convictions, and all this stuff. Well, then this week, we see this 88-year-old man go into the Holocaust Museum and tragically shoot a black man in this Jewish museum. And then I found out that the FBI has been watching this man. They've been surveying him. They knew, I think, that this possibly knew this was coming and allowed it to happen. Why? It's going to be the first experiment with these new hate crimes laws and legislation, and it's a way to take us one step further into this homeland security thing and to start turning the tide a little bit. The news channels were calling this man a right-wing conservative, a radical conservative. All of a sudden, and they started to use the word on CNN, and they were calling him a right-wing radical conservative Christian. He was a radical fruitcake, white supremacist nut, okay? And they want to equate a conservative viewpoints with these kinds of people. It's ridiculous. People who have conservative views love America. They want to preserve what our forefathers built. They want to, it's like respect of history. It's tradition. We want to maintain the godly foundation that this country was built upon. We certainly don't want to destroy that, and it's really sad that the evil of this world is starting to do, you know, point fingers this way. And it's important to understand, it's so critical that believers begin to stand up and speak out and take a stand and be bold for what we believe, folks. It's accelerating. The times are going faster. We're seeing the restrainer lifted, as is mentioned in the Bible. We're seeing less and less restraint, more and more immorality. And it's critical that the believers are out there standing up for what's right. As one quote that you've all probably heard says, "All that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing." Do not let your theology of a pre-tribulation rapture or anything like this change your actions. Folks, sitting back and saying, it's all in God's hands. He's going to take care of all of it. What does he call us to do? Why are we called to obey his commands? Why are we called to stand up? Did Christ just kick back and do nothing? No. Christ was out fighting. Christ was out speaking up. People don't realize there's certain theologies that have taken Christ and filled him with a lot of love. You know, Christ was love, no doubt, because God is love. But if you read his parables, well over two-thirds of them were angry, irritated parables, fed up with the system and fed up with the hypocrisy of the system. Jesus was mad, folks. I hate to break the news to you. He was angry and disgusted, yet he loved sinners. He sat with the prostitutes. He sat with the tax collectors sometimes. Why? Because these people lived in sin, perhaps, and understood their heart condition. They knew. He didn't need to tell them. They weren't self-righteous and pompous by any means. They knew they were broken, and he didn't need to tell them that. And God wants our heart. God is not, we're not going to impress God with our righteousness, and we're certainly not going to impress God with emotional worship. Worship is a way to draw closer to God, but the bottom line is living His word and obeying His commands. It's what we do. You know, if we've got a friend who's really got bad counsel, and we don't understand it, and she's leaving her husband, and the issue, there's no biblically founded issue justifying her decision. And yet she's got people around her that she tells this sob story of all these things, how her husband was mean to her. And by the way, he was, and he has repented, but she will not allow him an opportunity to redeem himself. And he didn't commit adultery, he didn't abuse her, although she says he abused her by you know, being cold and insensitive at times. And he didn't, you know, he's not dealing with a drug addiction or alcohol or anything like this. And yet there's people in the church, they're so sensitive to her emotions, and they let the emotion feed this desire to leave. And folks, you know, we're not called to be emotional for God. We're called to be soldiers, to follow His word and obey Him and serve Him. My Lord, over the thousands of years since He died, think of the martyrdom and that people have been through. You know, Jesus Christ told us specifically, He's about division and persecution and hard times, and obeying Him pleases Him. If we love Him, we obey His commands. We don't feed our emotion and say it's other people's responsibility to make us happy. We are here to serve God and God alone, and we can't look for all of our meaning from others. We can't look for approval from others. We need to look for approval from God. And marriage boils down to not what the other person does for us, but what we do for them. If each person in a marriage is focused 100% on serving the other as Christ served us, then a marriage will be healthy. Christ told us that marriage is representative of His relationship with the church. Well, guess what? Marriage, or His relationship with the church, is broken, and marriages in this country are broken. He doesn't walk away. And the church, you know, churches, I guess, sometimes drift off and walk away from Him. That doesn't make it right. He doesn't walk away. He's waiting for that day of great redemption. He loves the church. He's hoping for the best for the church. He prays for the church. We've seen that in Scripture when He was on earth. He wants to preserve marriage. Why? Because it represents the church. And when a marriage is broken, it represents people in the church walking away from God. So I'm not sure how I got off on that tangent. But the bottom line is, we have an obligation to God. We have an obligation to this country. This country was built and founded on godly Christian principles by godly Christian men. We have to fight to preserve that in a godly way. And by the way, in order to avoid offending anybody, I do not have a stance on one form of denomination, a church, or another, because I personally believe that just as there are 200 different types of automobiles on the road, I believe there are different church denominations out there that fit different personalities. I believe there are highly charismatic churches that that believe one way, and there's highly or strictly fundamentalist churches that believe another way. What I believe is that God looks at a man's heart, and He cares about a heart. Why was David popular with God? Why did God say David is a man after His own heart? Because A, he repented well, and B, he sought the truth no matter what the cost. Even though he screwed up, he wanted to know God's truth. He didn't come to God with his agenda and try to feed and weave God's word through his agenda and come out the other end with an emotional experience that made him feel like he somehow was closer to God or had some superior insight that no one else did. What's important to me, and on both ends of the spectrum, I see wrong. Okay, I see the one end that says, you know, if you don't speak in tongues and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit in a certain way, you are not truly saved. And then I see on the other end where someone says, well, and also, you know, acts of faith, healing, and this stuff. Then I see the other end that says, hey, look, none of this can happen. It ended with the apostles. It's over. We're a cold, dry, hard church. The problem is, folks, you do not put God in a box. God is God. He will do what he wants when he wants. In the New Testament, he performed phenomenal miracles through the apostles. Absolutely. Did he say it's over? No. Did he say he will continue? In a way, he kind of did, but he didn't guarantee it. But he did do amazing things, and he said he'll do greater things afterwards, okay, after he was gone, that the Holy Spirit would guide us and we'd do more incredible things. So the bottom line is we can't put God in a box and tell him what he should and should not do, but our faith needs to be much more than emotion. We need to read Scripture, and we need to be able to live for Christ. Our adversity defines us. Our hard times define our character. When the going gets tough, if we're going to run away, and we're going to, you know, just try to seek our own, to please our flesh, then we don't understand Jesus Christ. Does he run away from us when we fall? Does he run away from us when we turn our back on him? No, he's there waiting all the time. He's consistent. And God desires us, a free will human beings, that his ultimate creation, because we're redeemable. That's what Satan resents about us. And we have free will, the ability to choose. God wants people who can choose to reject him or accept him. He wants us to choose to accept him, to be in heaven with him eternally. He makes angels, and it's no different in a lot of cases than us making a tape recording telling ourselves how great we are, because angels do worship him and they do glorify him. And yes, there were some angels that had some sense of free will. We don't know a lot about that. For one, we've thrown out a lot of the old texts that the Jews had, like the book of Adam and Eve, that explained a lot of this stuff in the book of Enoch, which I'll get to at another time. But, you know, there was some redemptive ability. Well, there was some free will with these fallen angels, but not the redemptive ability, and that's why they resent us. But God wants our free will heart to turn to him. What a magnificent thing. Someone with true free will chooses God, and he gives us faith. Faith is how we accept God. It's the simplest, most free thing on earth, yet it's the hardest and most expensive thing on earth. Our faith is turning over our will to God's, and for man, that's a difficult endeavor. It's a ridiculously hard thing, and that's what he desires, is something that we can't see. And that is, it's faith. Faith is the most incredible thing of all, because it's the most powerful connection. It's what binds us with Christ eternally. And then he redeems us and he pulls us in based on our faith, our desire, which we obviously couldn't do without him giving us the ability to do it in the first place. But the bottom line is Christ desires our hearts. From there on, he goes to work. If we truly love God, we will love man, and we will love what God's done for us, and we will turn to him more and more. And the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and transform us, and we can represent him. And if we ask for the Holy Spirit to speak through us, we will speak the truth in love. And I will tell you, you know, based on the condition of the world today, we're heading towards evil disaster faster than at any other time in history. On a global scale, other than possibly before the flood, we are told that the entire earth became completely evil. We don't know what that means. There's a lot of various texts out there, as I said earlier, like the book of Jasher, which is, by the way, referenced in our Bible at least two times in Samuel and Chronicles, where it says the earth, the sun stood still for a day. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, that, and the book of Enoch, which is quoted in the book of Jude? These books tell us about the evil that took over the earth. And there's Egyptian history that goes back to the first pharaoh, who supposedly people theorize was Enoch, who built the Great Pyramid, which is full of divine prophecy magnificently, who led the earth in righteousness. And then when he was taken up, which is also the Egyptian history, that at 365 years, he went to an island in the Nile and was taken up by a chariot of fire, which is completely consistent with the story in the Bible. After he left, evil again reigned on the earth. and God eventually destroyed the earth. I think one world government may have taken over and evil reigned. We had Hitler all over again. It said, although he won in this case, it says in the Bible that every thought of man was continuously evil all day long, folks. That's what we get. We saw Lot, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw Lot, the last godly man, fall. There was only a half a man left there. The society had consumed him. This country was built as a godly refuge, a magnificent place, and now it's being replaced by a government system from the devil called Marxism. For some reason, this desire for utopia has taken us over. Folks, it isn't. It's a failed system. It's contrary to human nature, because we're created in God's image. We're created to think big, to dream, to grow, to improve, to want to better ourselves, and that is what God desired. Otherwise, why would He give us the ability to dream and imagine and create and build and grow? It's all for His glory. I think He really enjoys to see us do that, as long as we do it for Him. And as long as we respect what He's given us, that's the parable of the talents. What did you do with what I gave you? We're all given a different set of skills and abilities. And instead of looking at one another and trying to compare what they got and you didn't get, we need to look and appreciate and cherish what others have gotten and what we've gotten, and how we can meld together and unite to actually make the full body of Christ a magnificent thing. But what does this all have to do? What I'm saying is, we need to use our skills and abilities to stand up and defend this country and fight for truth. Our forefathers shed blood. They lost, you know, lives. They gave it all for this. And folks, now there's a group of people that is on a massive scale looking to destroy this thing, and they're effectively doing it. And unfortunately, we've got a man in the White House now who hasn't proven in any way that he's a U.S. citizen. He's never provided a birth certificate. He said one week that we're no longer a Christian nation. The next week he said we're one of the largest Muslim nations in the world. He said that he's going to defend Muslims against slurs worldwide, and on, folks. We got a big problem. We need to know it. And we've got over half a society deceived and buying into the lie. So I'm just asking you, stand up, do the right thing. I'm obviously here about gold and precious metals. And folks, I'm telling you, if you're not in the metals, you are going to get burned so bad. Please take my word for it. We can talk more if you call Coins Plus at 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside of Spokane, give us a ring. It's toll-free, 1-877-TAP-COIN or 1-877-827-2646. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless, and have a fantastic godly week.